What does air superiority actually look like in 2026? Because if you grew up studying the Gulf War or reading about the skies over Korea, the answer today might surprise you. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Let's get into it. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So Simple Flying published a piece this week looking at which military aircraft are actually proving decisive in the conflicts happening right now. Not which ones look impressive at an air show. Not which ones have the biggest price tag. Which ones are changing outcomes on the ground, and the answers tell you a lot about where aviation warfare has gone and where it's heading. Here's what you need to know. The aircraft dominating headlines are not all fast movers. In fact, the single most consequential aviation development across multiple theaters of conflict in the last few years has been the rise of the uncrewed aerial system, the drone. And I don't just mean the big Reaper-class platforms that the United States has operated for two decades. I mean relatively inexpensive, relatively simple platforms that countries are building and fielding in enormous numbers. The Turkish-made Bayraktar TB2 is probably the clearest example. This is a medium-altitude, long-endurance drone, wingspan of about 40 feet. Powered by a Rotax engine. If you've flown behind a Rotax, you know what we're talking about. This is not exotic propulsion. It's a proven, reliable power plant bolted onto an airframe that carries smart munitions and a very capable sensor ball. Turkey's Baykar Technologies builds it, and it has shown up in Libya, in the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan, in the fighting in Ukraine, and in operations across parts of Africa. What makes the TB2 so decisive is not raw performance. It's cost versus effect. A single Bayraktar TB2 costs somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million. For context, one F-35 Lightning II runs about $80 million. You can field 16 Bayraktars for the price of one Joint Strike Fighter, and in conflicts where air defenses are limited or degraded, that math changes everything. Azerbaijan's campaign in Nagorno-Karabakh in 2020 was essentially a case study. TB2 drones systematically identified and destroyed Armenian armor, artillery positions, and air defense systems. The footage was striking. Precision strikes from an unmanned platform that the defending force struggled to detect and engage. That conflict lasted 44 days. Aviation analysts have been studying it ever since. Now shift to Ukraine, where the air war has looked very different. Both sides have employed drones extensively, but the environment is far more contested. Russia fields layered air defenses, the US-300 and S-400 systems, that can reach out and touch aircraft at significant range and altitude. Ukraine has had to adapt. They've used TB2 drones, yes, but also a massive fleet of smaller first-person view drones. These are essentially commercial-grade quadcopters modified to carry munitions. They cost a few hundred dollars each, and they have become one of the most effective anti-armor tools on that battlefield. But drones aren't the whole story. The F-16 Fighting Falcon, the Viper. This airplane first flew in 1974. More than 4,600 have been built, and it is still one of the most relevant tactical fighters on the planet. Ukraine has been receiving F-16 aircraft from its Western partners, and the introduction of that platform into the Ukrainian Air Force has been one of the most closely watched aviation stories of the last 2 years. Why does a 50-year-old design still matter? Because the F-16 has been continuously upgraded. The latest Block 70 and 72 variants carry an active electronically scanned array radar, modern electronic warfare systems, and can employ the full range of NATO precision munitions. The airframe is proven. The logistics chain is global. Dozens of nations operate the Viper. Pilots train on it everywhere from Arizona to Denmark to South Korea. When Ukraine needed a Western fighter that could integrate with NATO weapons and command and control systems, the F-16 was the practical answer. The headline doesn't tell the whole story on this one. Putting F-16s into a combat zone like Ukraine isn't just about the airplane. It's about the weapons it carries. The ability to employ the AIM-120 MRAM, the advanced medium-range air-to-air missile, gives Ukrainian pilots a beyond-visual range capability they didn't have with their legacy Soviet-era fleet. That changes the air-to-air equation significantly. Now let's talk about the platform Israel has leaned on heavily. The F-35 Lightning II, the Adar variant as the Israeli Air Force calls it. Israel was the first country to declare the F-35 operationally capable and the first to use it in combat. In operations over Gaza and in strikes against targets in Syria and reportedly Iran, the F-35's low observable characteristics, its stealth, have allowed Israeli pilots to operate in and around air defense environments that would be extremely dangerous for a fourth-generation fighter. This affects you if you follow the broader trajectory of military aviation, because the F-35 represents a fundamentally different approach to air combat. It is as much a sensor and data fusion platform as it is a fighter. The pilot is managing an integrated picture from radar, electronic warfare sensors, infrared search and track, and data links from other aircraft and ground stations. The flying is almost secondary to the information management. That's a sea change from the stick and rotor dogfighting era. And then there are the workhorses that don't grab headlines. The Lockheed Martin C-130 Hercules, in its many variants, including the AC-130 gunship, remains indispensable in conflicts across Africa and the Middle East. Close air support, resupply, medevac, intelligence gathering, the Herc does it all. It has been in service since 1956, 70 years, and it's still the airlifter that gets the call when a dirt strip in a contested area needs to be serviced. The Russian Su-25 Frogfoot, their equivalent of the A-10 Warthog, has seen extensive use in Ukraine as well. It's a straight-wing, armored, close air support jet designed to operate low and slow over the battlefield. Both sides have lost Su-25s to ground fire and man-portable air defense systems. It's a brutal reminder that in a high-threat environment, even purpose-built ground attack aircraft are vulnerable. What ties all of this together, and what makes it relevant beyond the military sphere, is a principle that every pilot understands. Mission dictates equipment. There is no single most decisive aircraft. The TB2 is devastating when air defenses are thin. The F-35 is essential when you need to penetrate sophisticated, integrated air defense networks. The F-16 fills the gap as a versatile, affordable, upgradable multi-role platform. And the smallest drone you can buy off the shelf has become a weapon of war when modified by creative and determined operators. For those of us in general aviation, there's a secondary thread worth watching. The technology filtering down from these conflicts is going to shape the airspace we fly in. Detect and avoid systems being developed for military drones are informing the FAA's approach to integrating uncrewed aircraft into the national airspace system. Counter-drone technology being fielded on battlefields today will eventually show up protecting airports and critical infrastructure at home. The sensor fusion concepts in the F-35 cockpit are already influencing the next generation of avionics in civil aircraft. Aviation has always been shaped by conflict. The pressures of wartime flying accelerate development in ways that peacetime never does. The jet engine came out of World War II. GPS came out of the Cold War military. The conflicts of today are accelerating drone technology, autonomy, electronic warfare, and data integration at a pace that will reshape all of aviation within the next decade. Sources today from Simple Flying and cross-referenced with reporting from Aviation Week and the Royal United Services Institute, more at radiohanger.com. I'm Tower. Keep your head on a swivel out there.